you all will pray for me one more time. In this meeting, I'm leaving after this service. I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord on us. I'm thankful for the privilege that we have to trust the Lord. And we have a very wonderful treasure this morning. The Lord has done very much for us and to everyone that knows the Lord. You know what a treasure we really possess. And I don't ever want to lose my treasure. If you will turn with me to Matthew in the 13th chapter. Matthew in the 13th chapter in the 44th verse. Jesus was speaking and he said again, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth, and selleth that he hath, and buyeth that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. And I had always tended to think about that treasure in a field as being maybe a pot of gold in a field. But I began doing some studying, and one of the commentators brought out, and I was really inspired and impressed with it, that really the treasure that is in a field, it's more like a gold mine. You see, you go out and you see a field, and it doesn't look like anything on the surface. But when you get below the surface, you don't just find one pot of gold, but there's a gold mine under there. And I'm finding salvation is like a gold mine. It's a treasure. And it's not just that you go and find one little pot of gold and then it's over. Okay, I found it now, and it's all over. But as we serve the Lord, we find more and more power with God. We find more and more joy in the service of God. And it's kind of like a gold mine that has veins of gold running through the ground. And people, they have to dig underneath the ground to find the gold. And you have to put forth an effort. You can't just go and there's a pot of gold laying there and you walk off with it. But a mine is something that is in one place that you have to go to where the gold is and you have to work for it. And then when you find something, you may see a vein running a different direction. That's like the Word of God, isn't it? There's treasures in the Word of God. And as we search the Scripture, as we grow older, and there are times that I've heard Scriptures over and over and over, and then one day the Lord opened my mind and my heart up to it. Well, I know the Lord has a lot more of that for me down the road. And those of you that are older, you know what I'm talking about. As the Lord just reveals more and more to you, isn't that the treasure that we have this morning? It's like a mine. It's not a pot of money. It's something that is far more valuable than a gold mine. It's something that we cannot put a value on salvation this morning. And salvation, the sister said the other day, this is worth so much more than all the world has to offer. All the stocks and the bonds and the houses and lands. Folks, we have something that's worth so much more than that this morning. We need to value that thing. But how many of you, if you found a mine, found a gold mine, the Scripture said here he hid it. Now, if it was a pot of gold, don't you think he could have just picked it up and carried it off? You can't do that with a mine. And if he was out digging and found a mine and found some gold underneath there, he would have covered it back over and went and sold everything that he had and go and buy the land so he could work and get the gold out. That's what salvation is like. We can't just come and say, okay, I have salvation and now I'm just going to go my own way. No, folks, we have to come to the Lord. We have to come to the Lord and to be able to get the gold out. To be able to possess that land, we are going to have to go and sell all that we have to purchase that land. And folks, if you're not willing this morning, or if you have not sold everything, and what that means is your opinions, it means your ideas, it means the way you are raised, it means the things of the flesh, the things of the world, you're going to have to sell those things out and come and say, Lord, I want you more than anything else in my life. And I'm willing to do whatever you say. Lord, I'm willing to measure up. I'm willing to move out. Lord, I'm willing to do all that your Word of God says. Because, folks, that's what it's going to take. There is no other way to possess this treasure. It's valuable, isn't it? As you experience the joy of the Lord, you experience the healing of the Lord. physical healing is wonderful. But do you know spiritual healing is better? Spiritual healing is better. And as you go along life's way, the joy of the Lord and the peace that He brings. And that's why one of the songs says something about that. The longer I serve Him, that's it. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Folks, I don't know much in the world that's like that. I don't know anything in the world that's like that. Sometimes you do something, you may have an activity, and you go and partake of it, and then it's old hat. You don't need to do it anymore. Salvation, the more that you live for God, it gets better. It gets better and better. His service is sweeter because we're getting more of that treasure out of that land. And folks, to the oldest one here this morning, there's more treasure for you. There's more treasure. The Lord has more victory. He has more grace. He has more joy for you in your life. It's a treasure. But once we find the treasure, how many would say, well, just leave, bear the gold, open up the ground, dig into it, and start working, and at the end of the night, just go home and leave it there? How many would do that? What would happen if you left it? Someone would come and try to steal it. Someone would come in the night and try to take your treasure, the thing that you purchased. You went and sold all that you had to buy that land, to get hold of that treasure. Folks, the message, the burden I have on my heart this morning is guard your treasure. Amen. Guard your treasure. God has given us something very wonderful this morning. The plan of salvation, the plan of holy living, the plan of purity, the plan of joy. Folks, that's a treasure that God has given us today. But we need to guard our treasure. This is not, there are too many people that are casual with their salvation. But if you had a big sack of money, how many of you would just go downtown and leave it laying on top of your car to go in to pay for your gas? It would be gone when you came back, most likely, wouldn't it? You know, the same thing will happen with your salvation if you get casual with it. If you get casual with it, the enemy is going to come and he's going to try to steal your treasure. He's going to try to take away from you what God gave you when you sold all that you had. So I want to encourage us this morning in the fear of God. Lord, help us to guard our treasure. When we came to the Lord, we had to sell out. We had to give up all sin. We had to give up all unrighteousness. We had to give up ourselves. It costs something. But folks, it's worth it. It's worth it. We have a treasure. But sometimes I wonder if we really realize the value. Do we really, truly realize the value of what we have this morning? You know, I think if people understood the value more, I'm not talking about people in the world, now I'm talking about saints. If they realize the value more of what God has given us, they'd take care of it better. They'd guard it better. They'd be more careful with their decisions and with their choices in life, because I don't want the enemy to steal what God gave to me, that treasure that I possess. In the fifth chapter of 1 Peter chapter 5 and the 8th verse, he said, "Be sober, be vigilant." Now, folks, that's some instruction for us this morning. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Folks, the devil is going to do everything he can to steal your treasure today. He's going to do everything he can to try to take your peace, to take your joy, but it's going to come about by the decisions that you are making on a daily basis. I mentioned a while back, it's not frequently that someone wakes up one morning and says, "I think I'll backslide today." It happens most of the time because people get casual with their treasure. They're not as diligent. They're not as careful as they ought to be. And so the enemy is right there to try to get what he can. And he comes in as a lion, folks. And folks, the devil is smart. He's smarter than you are. He's smarter than I am, except it be for the wisdom of Christ. Except it be for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The devil is smarter than we are, and we need to be on our guard and not get casual with this thing. Casual Christianity, folks, You'll lose your treasure. The devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. It says, whom resist, steadfast in the faith. Dear ones, this is one of the ways we're going to be able to guard our treasure. We're going to have to resist the enemy being steadfast in the faith, steadfast in the Word of God, steadfast in the principles of Bible doctrine of holiness and purity and godly living. Steadfast in that. Folks, about the time you get casual about your faith is the time the enemy is going to come in and he's going to begin to rob you of your treasure. And then one day you're going to wake up a pauper. I don't have anything. What happened? It was because you weren't being careful. You weren't guarding your treasure like the Lord wanted you. Folks, all of our focus and attention must be on our treasure. I mentioned last night, if you own IBM stock, you know there are some people that watch that ticker symbol all the time. They want to see what's happening. They're watching their treasure. Well, folks, we need to watch our salvation more than we'd watch any ticker tape. We need to watch and guard our treasure. I want to know what's happening. I want to be on guard. I want to be careful. I want to make the right decisions in my daily life. Folks, when we get saved and sanctified, we have not arrived. We're just getting started. The Lord just given us the tools we need to go out and begin to mine the gold, the treasure that's in the field. But too many people, out of a true, sincere heart for the things of God, they give their heart to the Lord, and they may even go on and be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they say, okay, I have it now. And then they start to get casual. Folks, when God gives us the Holy Spirit, He's giving us some tools. He is empowering with His Spirit then that we will be able to go in and dig under the ground and get that treasure out. But there's always more. There's some more veins running underneath, folks, that the Lord wants to expose to His children. But we're going to have to work for it. And we're going to have to guard what God has already blessed us with. Scripture says that no man can serve two masters. Folks, we had to go and sell all that we had to buy that field, to get that treasure. And not only at the onset did it cost everything we had to buy it, folks, it's going to cost everything that you have to keep it. It's going to cost everything you have to keep it. The man that had found the goodly pearl, he went and he sold all of his other ones. Folks, when you get that supreme treasure, see, you can't measure the wealth of it. There keeps being more and more, and there is not time. We do not have the privilege to go dabble in some other little treasures around. We found the supreme treasure, and the gold's going to keep coming out if we'll stay right where we're at, but it's going to take everything that we possess. Folks, guard your treasure this morning. Be careful of the decisions you make in life, and realize the devil is out to get your soul. The devil is out to get your treasure. There have been, and folks, it applies to everybody, there have been those that have served God faithfully for years and years and years, and they lost their treasure. Because they were not being diligent and careful. And folks, as long as we are in the flesh, don't misunderstand me, as long as we are in the flesh, we have the propensity to sin. As long as we are in the flesh. When we get sanctified, unfortunately, there was some teaching that used to go on that brought confusion. They said when you got saved, it was like a tree that cut the tree off. And when you got sanctified, it took the roots out. Well, so there's no place to sin anymore. Folks, there have been a lot of people that have been sanctified that have lost their soul, and it was because they were still in the flesh, which means there is still something within all of us. Where does temptation come from? Have you ever been tempted by the devil to be holy? I'm going to tempt you to be holy. No, we have to work at being holy. We have to seek God and let Him work in us to be holy. But it doesn't take, we don't have to do a whole lot to sin, do we? We don't have to do a whole lot to yield to temptation. What is temptation but drawing on things in our flesh? Folks, guard your treasure. Guard your treasure. Realize the enemy is out to get you. Get your treasure. I count all things but loss. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4. Folks, we need to still this morning count everything but loss. And if in your life there begin to be other things that are important to you, that begin to violate the Scripture, begin to go against holiness and purity, folks, you're going to lose your treasure. You're going to lose your treasure. Guard it. The Scripture in the 4th chapter of Proverbs in the 23rd verse says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep your heart with all diligence. Guard your treasure, folks. Guard your heart. Guard your affections. What is it you're seeking after this morning? What are the things that you're interested in? What are the things that you say, well, you can touch on everything, but you leave these things alone? These are some pets in my life that I don't want anybody to touch. Folks, what are we seeking after? We have a wonderful treasure. Let's guard it. Let's be careful and guard it with everything. Folks, remember, when you make choices in life, and I'm talking about day-to-day practical decisions that we all make. The places you go, the things you do, the things you wear, the things you watch, the things you read, all of those things. Remember your treasure.
Yes.
Remember what God has given you, and do not do anything that you think the enemy is going to begin to take advantage in that area of your life.
Amen.
Again, I'm going to reiterate it. It doesn't matter if it's something lawful. If it is something that you know the enemy is working and pulling us on something in your flesh, you leave that thing alone.
Amen.
Leave that thing alone, because we have a wonderful treasure this morning. I've read about people that work in the diamond mines in Africa. And the owners of these mines have big problems with the workers trying to steal these diamonds. They go out and they have the diamonds. They're supposed to bring them all to the owner. But yet many of those workers will go to many, many extremes to try to get some of those diamonds out for themselves. You know, the devil is just like that. We're here mining the gold of salvation. We're here looking into the Scripture saying, Lord, I want to be more like Christ. And the Lord is blessing us, leading us along. But the devil is right there wanting to get in where we're trying to dig in the Scripture and learn more about the Lord. The devil is going to be right there trying to pluck some of our treasure. He will bring confusion to your mind. He will try to bring confusion. He will try to bring division. He will try to bring misunderstandings. And folks, sometimes he will try to get us focused on one doctrine and leave all the other things alone. You know what's going to happen at that time? The devil's going to come in and start stealing your treasure. You say, well, I'm working on this over here. I'm studying on this. And I'm mining some gold. But at the same time, folks, keep your eye on what God's already given to you. Keep your eye on it and guard it, because the enemy is going to be coming in if he can. The Scripture in many places talks about the walls. The walls of salvation. The walls put around in Proverbs, when David talks about the field of the slothful. There was a wall that was around that field. Do you know that the Lord brought to me, it's this field that we have our treasure in. God puts a wall around it for us, folks. And that wall, the Scripture says, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Those walls of salvation are there to help us guard our treasure. These walls are not human opinions. It goes beyond opinion. It goes beyond history. It goes beyond tradition. These are things of the Word of God that God has set around that field to guard our treasure. But when we begin to get casual about it, folks, the wall's going to begin to get broken down. And in that time is when the enemy is going to come in. When the wall is down, the enemy can slip in the night. But if the wall is up and you are on your guard, you will be able to recognize the enemy, because the Holy Spirit's going to be faithful to you. The Holy Spirit, folks, I have confidence this morning in the Holy Spirit. I have confidence in Him. Some people think it's a preacher's job to play Holy Spirit. I don't believe that. I believe the Holy Spirit will be faithful to us individually, but I am going to have to be doing my job. And if I'm not doing my job, folks, the Holy Spirit can't do His job. I'm going to have to make a decision and a purpose. Lord, it's more important than anything else. And Lord, if the enemy starts to come in, Lord, would you show it to me? I don't want to get deceived. I don't want to lose my treasure. Folks, the Holy Spirit will be faithful to you.
Amen.
But if you're not putting the value on your treasure that you ought to, how can the Holy Spirit deal with us then? The other night, talking about the Holy Spirit and His power, how can He deal with you? How can He warn you and show you you're deceived if you're not have a desire to guard your treasure? If you want to get as close to the flesh, as close to the world, as close as you can, folks, how can the Lord move in our individual lives if we're just trying to get as close when the Lord's saying, your treasure's right here? Why are you getting as far away from your treasure as you can? Lord, help us to guard it. Folks, let's not be ignorant. Let's not be ignorant of the way that the enemy works. Brought a message in Bakersfield just, I guess, a week and a half or 2 weeks ago on how we are in the world, but not of the world. We are living in the world. It is not that, and when I'm talking about walls, I'm not talking about saying, we're almost have walls around this little, these campgrounds here. Kind of isolated. There's walls all around it. Folks, these aren't the walls I'm talking about. The walls of salvation are in your heart that will enable you to go outside of these literal walls and still have the grace of God in your heart to live holy when sin is all around you. It is not the will of God for all of His saints to come and live within four walls and say, we can't go outside the walls because it's so evil. No, Jesus came to give us the grace and the power to keep us from the evil of the world. But folks, that's going to be something then that's going to take place in your heart individually. So guard your treasure. I think about in the 16th chapter of Judges, and we won't take time to read it, but do you remember Samson? The Lord gave Samson a treasure, didn't He? What was the treasure that Samson had? It was strength. He had a treasure in Samson had taken the vow of a Nazarite, which means he did not cut his hair, he did not drink wine, and he was reserved for the use of God. It was a special vow that people took, very few people, but some took before the Lord, and they honored those vows. And the Lord honored that in Samson, and He gave Samson strength.
Yes.
Now, folks, when you will make a vow to the Lord, you know God will honor that in your life. You're going to have to make some vows to the Lord, though. You're going to have to make some vows this morning that you're going to leave some things alone. Maybe others are doing it, but Lord, I want to guard my treasure.
Yes.
But yet we find that Samson hooked up with a harlot. A harlot is someone who is unfaithful and unclean. He had no business. Samson had no business joining himself with a harlot. Folks, that was his first mistake. His first mistake. But we find that secondly, when she began, Delilah, she began to say, Samson, tell me, what is the secret of your treasure? What is the secret of your strength? Oh, Delilah, you know, Delilah. Well, if you tie my hands, if you do this and do that, and she tried, and he knew that Delilah was trying to deceive him. Samson knew that. When we realize the enemy is trying to deceive us or trying to bring something in our midst that's less than the Word of God, we need to get it out. We shouldn't flirt with it. You see, Samson flirted with Delilah. Folks, if you flirt with someone long enough, something's going to happen. And Samson did that with Delilah. He flirted with her. And soon, time after time, he just told her fibs. He told her lies about the secret of his strength. But he knew she was after it. Folks, the devil is after us the same way this morning. He's after children of God. He's after sanctified people. Let's not flirt with the devil, folks. The territory that the devil will use, the means that the enemy will use, are the things of the flesh and the things of the world. He will use those things to try to cause us to give our treasure up. And we'll lose it to it, folks. Let's not flirt with the world then. Let's not flirt with things that are less than pure, less than godly, less than holy. Folks, the Lord has given us something wonderful. grateful this morning. Let's value it. How much do you value what God's given you? Guard it. Guard it, whatever the cost. Some say, well, I'm not sure I'm willing to do that. Folks, that's your choice. But you're setting some priorities. Where's your treasure then? Where's your treasure? If you will value what God has given you, I count all things but loss. Too many people, though, are flirting. Too many people are flirting with the world. They're flirting with things of the flesh. You know what flirting is? And I don't have a dictionary definition. But it's not going all the way to an extreme in something. It's just kind of maneuvering around it. Saying, I'll just kind of play like it, but I'm not going to do it. That's what flirting is. I want to send some messages or signals that I want to do something, but I'm not going to do it. Folks, remember what I said? You flirt with something long enough, it's going to get hold of you. That happens with the enemy. It happens with the world. You think you can go out and flirt with the world? Folks, you can't. You can go out and live in the world and be godly, but it's because you're saying, Lord, I'm going to guard my treasure, and when I go out in the world, I can't help everything that's around me, and I'm not going to get in a little cubby hole, but I'm going to go out like Jesus told me into the world, but I'm going to guard my treasure, and I'm not going to flirt with the world telling them I want some, but I really don't. I want to do that, but I'm going to not do that. Folks, that's flirting. And there have been a lot of people that have lost their treasure because they started to flirt with things of the world. The Lord had burdened me before I even came to this meeting, woke one night. We need to be careful, folks, about the spirit of permissiveness. Guard your treasure. Permissiveness means indulgent. It means lenient. It means tolerance of practices or behaviors in a spiritual sense that are not approved of God. Do you know, as children of God, there's so much evil around about us. There's so much evil. If we are not careful, we will begin to let down our guard and be more permissive of sin and things of the flesh than we ought to be. Because, folks, divorce and remarriage is one such issue. All of us here, I'm supposing, have been affected by that in our families in one way or another. In one way or another. Yes, there are some biblical grounds for separation, but folks, there are no biblical grounds for remarriage. There are no biblical grounds. It is contrary to the Word of God. When you marry someone, that is your husband or wife for life. The Bible is very plain, but it's so prevalent contrary to that. The world is so prevalent that as children of God, if we're not careful to guard our treasure, we'll say, well, I wouldn't marry someone else, but we begin to just be indulgent of that sin. We begin to just have this permissiveness and, well, I want us to understand, folks, I believe and the Bible teaches mercy and forgiveness and long-suffering with the sinner, but not with the sin. And I think the enemy likes to confuse the issue sometimes. I believe with all my heart, folks, when you're dealing with a sinner, you don't need to go and just this and that and the other and cut. That's not the Spirit of the Lord. It's there to show them the love of God, the humility. Be long-suffering, folks. We were there too, weren't we? But God gave us a treasure. I want to show that treasure to the world. But at the same time, when it comes to sinful practices, folks, we need to abhor evil. We're living in a society that anything goes except living for God, except holiness. Everything goes. Permissiveness. And folks, I want to say in the fear of the Lord, permissiveness has crept in along different lines. And I'm not talking about what you think or what I think or opinions. I'm talking about things that the Word of God spells out that were there to help us guard our treasure. A spirit of permissiveness saying, I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to just, you know, whatever. You get a spirit of permissiveness, you know what's going to happen next? You're going to find yourself yielding to something. And when there is sin in someone's life and you say, well, I understand. Folks, I understand sinners sin. That's what makes them sinners. And it takes a definite change for them to come out of that. It takes a change from the Lord. But at the same time, do not excuse sin. When you love someone and they sin, we love it. We forgive them. We're long-suffering with them. But at the same time, folks, do not excuse sin. Sin, it seems like, is not as exceedingly sinful as it once was. Folks, as children of God, have the long-suffering for the sinner, but not for the sin. The things you know the Bible teaches, and this is just for you to examine in your life, because there's so much more that we're not going to be able to cover this morning. But in the things you know the Bible teaches about sin, about the works of the flesh, have you in any way gotten a little permissive of it? Well, we'll excuse that and we'll justify that. Folks, sin is sin. Works of the flesh are sin. Don't have a spirit of permissiveness. Because the next, what you're doing when you have that spirit of permissiveness, you can say, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not doing anything. I'm not partaking of this sin. But you have a spirit of permissiveness against that sin and others around about you. Folks, you're next. You're next. And it may not come along that line. It may be something else. But see, you've torn that wall down. And the enemy's going to come in and try to get your treasure. James in the first chapter. James chapter 1, verse 27. Said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted. Unspotted from the world. Folks, the enemy is working very hard along many different lines to cause us to be permissive, to cause us to flirt. Okay? To cause us to flirt. Folks, let's keep ourselves unspotted. What is the treasure God gave us? White, pure robes of righteousness and holiness and godliness. Folks, if you have that this morning, you have a treasure. It's kind of like when you put on clean clothes and there's a mud puddle outside, you just walk through it. How many of you walk through it? We don't, do we? We walk around it because I don't want to get all dirty. Well, folks, do you know we need to have that same care for the righteousness of God that's in our life? The holiness of God that He has blessed us with. We need to take the same care that, Lord, yes, I'm walking through this world, but Lord, I don't want to get spotted with it. I want to guard my heart. I want to guard my mind. I want to guard what I feed on. You've heard the saying, you are what you eat. Folks, the same thing applies spiritually. You go out and feed on things that are less than pure and holy, that thing is going to become part of you. And it's just going to be the enemy just reaching his hand into the pot, reaching his hand into your mind, taking some of that treasure for himself. Folks, it takes a work of God to get it back. And I'm thankful this morning that if you've lost some treasure along the way, there is a place we can come to the Lord and He'll say, I forgive you, go and sin no more. Go and be careful. Maybe you haven't sinned, but you've been permissive. You've been flirting a little bit on the side with the world, with the things in your flesh. Well, folks, there's healing for that. There's healing for that. There's a place the Lord will come in and restore unto you the joy of salvation. In other words, that the devil has begun to steal away. The Lord will restore that. I have confidence in that. But I know that we need to be on our guard. I'm not going to take the time. We'll be done here shortly. But do you remember in Joshua, and just for your reference, it's in the 9th chapter of Joshua. Joshua and the children of Israel had gone into the land of Canaan, and God had told them, destroy. He said, destroy all of the people in the land. And they went out, in other words, spiritually speaking, all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Folks, there's no place for it in the land of a child of God. We need to destroy it and eradicate it from our life. We need to mortify our members. We need to crucify the flesh. And as Paul said, I die daily. I bring my body under subjection. Folks, it's a daily walk. This isn't something we can come to camp meeting and be all fired up and that's going to carry us the rest of the year. It doesn't work that way. It means that every single day, Lord, I need to guard my treasure. Isn't it so easy to be holy when we're together? Some people even have struggles with that. But carnality, folks, the devil will steal your treasure through carnality. He'll still it. But do you know when we're together in camp meeting, the message goes forth, the singing, the rejoicing, the praising, and I thank God for that because it renews my spirit to go out and live for God closer.
Yes.
And we need these times.
Yes.
But yet, don't be ignorant of the devices of the devil. When you leave this meeting, the devil's going to be right back where he was saying, I want a little bit of that. I want to steal some of your treasure. Folks, going back to the thought in Joshua in the 9th chapter, God had told Joshua and the people to destroy all the people of the land. And we find that after they conquered Jericho and Aza, I believe it was, there were some of the people in the land that knew that they were headed their direction. And they didn't want to die. And so what they did, they put on old rags, and they got dusty and dirt all over them, and they baked bread and let it get moldy, and then they went dragging in saying, we're a people from a far country. And they said, we just want to be your servants. And folks, the children of Israel, they made a league or a pact with those people. We will not destroy you. You will build our fires. You will cut our wood. You will carry our water. You'll be a servant to us. Folks, we cannot make the world a servant to us. Do not take something that is ungodly. Do not take something that is not pure and say, well, if I use this, see, if I have these people working at home, carrying the wood and building our houses, then I can go on and conquer some more of the land, doing the work of God. You see? No. Folks, the end does not justify the means. Do not make a pact with something that is less than pure and something that is less than holy. Because you know what happened? Through the years, children of Israel, the young men, they grew up and it was time to get a wife. Guess where they wanted to go get a wife? Well, these wood hewers, some pretty women among them. Go in there and I'll take her for my wife. And at the same time, these people there, it's like, well, let us worship our gods. We'll build our idols. And we'll just leave you all alone. You worship God. We're your servants now. You have authority over us. We're just little meek servants. But they still have their idols. So the young men went and married themselves to those people. Guess what their wives wanted to do? Well, it's just an idol. This is just the way I believe. Folks, do you see what happens? Do you know this can happen to you spiritually? Guard your treasure. Do not make a pact and a league with something of the flesh or something of the world. In closing, if you will turn with me to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll begin reading in the 10th verse. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Folks, to guard our treasure, it is not going to be the power and might of ourselves. It is going to be the power of God. But the willingness is from you. The willingness and the choice and the value. Lord, I value what you've given me. I value purity and holiness and godliness. I value my salvation, Lord. And I want to guard it. Would you give me what I need to guard it? Yeah. Folks, the power is going to be through God. He went on to say, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That you might be able to stand against the craftiness of the enemy who's wanting to steal your treasure. What is armor for? It's for protection. It is to guard us from harm. Folks, that is what we're taught. Guard your treasure. It's going to take us putting on the armor of God. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Folks, there is still an experience with God this morning that we don't only find the treasure, but we can mine it out, gaining more and more treasure, guarding ourselves against the enemy. But we're going to have to guard it, realizing it's not a battle between me and the sinner man. It's not a battle between me and the woman on the street. It's a battle between you and spirits of darkness and wickedness. Yes. Folks, sometimes we begin to look at people and say, they're my battle. That's my problem. That's the temptation. No, it's not, folks. We're in a spiritual battle this morning. It's a spiritual warfare. That's why these four walls aren't going to do anything our treasure safe. But he said here, against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. Folks, we're not talking about a little meek spirit. We're talking about a spirit that's strong and powerful. And if you're not on your guard, that spirit's going to get hold of you. It's going to come by a spirit of permissiveness. It's going to come by flirting with the things of the flesh and the things of the world. It's going to come by minimizing the Word of God, what God has blessed us with.
Right.
It's a spiritual warfare, folks. I believe if we could truly see what we're fighting against, if we could truly understand this morning what the enemy is trying to do, we'd be on our guard more. Yeah. Folks, we're in a battle. And the devil is doing everything he can to get your treasure this morning. But I am so thankful that God has given us the provision to be able to withstand that power of the devil. He said, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth."
Yes.
Folks, without truth, the enemy is going to get your treasure. Without truth, the whole truth, and nothing but it. It's going to take the armor of God, folks. You can have some of the armor, but if you leave off one piece, you're vulnerable in that spot. That's the place the enemy's going to come for you. And folks, I want to make mention again, we're all human. We all have weaknesses. We are all tempted. Temptation is not sin. This is a general burden that I have. You may hear it more later, but temptation is not sin. It is the yielding to it. But when we're tempted, I need to realize the enemy's trying to get my treasure. Now, Lord, I need some power. I need some armor to keep me from yielding to that temptation. It's going to take truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Folks, it's going to take purity and holiness and godliness in every facet of your life. Every decision, every choice, everything that you do and say on a daily basis, keep that breastplate of righteousness on. He said, "And your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace." Folks, it's not a gospel of carnality. It's not a gospel of judgment and of cutting people off. It is a gospel of peace. He said, "And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Folks, the shield of faith is a protection to us, guarding our treasure. Lord, you gave me the treasure, and I believe in the power of the blood that there is grace for me to withstand it. And folks, the devil's going to have to leave. But we're going to have faith that God will give me the victory. The places where I am weak, then am I strong. Why? Because my faith in God. My flesh is weak. My spirit's willing. But folks, your flesh is weak tonight, this morning. You're weak in your flesh. Except it be by the power of God. And that's why we have to have faith. Acknowledge your weakness, though. Too many people are getting caught up in their own righteousness, in their own strength. Folks, the enemy's going to come in then. But when we realize we're human, we're flesh, we're being tempted, Lord, I want to guard my treasure. Lord, I'm going to put my faith in you. It'll withstand. He said, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Dear ones, it's going to take the sword, it's going to take the Spirit of God and the Word of God working freely in your life for you to guard your treasure. When the Spirit of God speaks to you and convicts you of something, folks, realize it's because the Lord's wanting to help you guard your treasure. It may be difficult. It may be you have to start doing something different, take something on. Stop doing something, start doing. It's going to bring about change.
Yeah.
But when the Spirit of God convicts you of something and you don't feel real comfortable with something, folks, pay attention to it.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. If the Spirit of God deals with you,
yes,
and you're, "I'm not sure about this," folks, play it safe.
Yes.
Make this safe decision because you have a treasure.
Yes.
You have a treasure to guard. In closing, he said, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Folks, let us pray. Let us continually and daily seek God. Lord, I value what You've given me. I value this treasure. Lord, I want to get more of it out of the ground. But Lord, with something wonderful. Amen.